Easy to Find by Katie Rose Fun. Narrated by Rhea 314. Fandom Beyond Evil. Pairing Han Juan y Dongseok. Rating General Audiences. No Archive Warning Supply. Juan sees Dongseok once and wants to see him again. It's a dangerous kind of want. One that he could have buried if he'd been a little less desperate, a little more certain of who he is. The Han Juan of a year ago might have been able to do it. The Han Juan of a year ago might have been able to examine this newness in his hands and find a patch of dirt to hide it under, out of sight, out of mind. But too many things have happened in the past year, and so Han Juan wants. He wants badly, as he meets Dongseok at Jae-yi's shop every other weekend, and he's not entirely sure if he's allowed. He'll learn. The meetings are always the same, always with colleagues. If they're surprised by Han Juan's uptick in appearances, they never say anything. They sometimes comment on whether he looks tired or not. He is, always. And other times, Jae-yi passes him a bag of leftovers, even though Juan says he doesn't need it. He does, and Jae-yi seems to know. Dongseok always pulls out the stool beside him for Juan to sit in. He does it with a customary smile, one that's simultaneously careful and careless. But then again, that's Lee Dongseok in a phrase. With hands pocketed as he saunters up to or away from the shop. With neatly brushed hair, only getting mussed with the evening breeze. He looks better these days, more balanced. But once, Juan notes, the long second it takes for his former partner to laugh at something, and once again, so violently and suddenly that he's ashamed of it. Does he only want Lee Dongseok when he's miserable? He doesn't think so. But Juan can't ignore the hot tightness in his chest whenever he thinks he sees that familiar glimmer of grief in the older man's eyes. It's July now, the summer trying to prolong its stay for what few weeks it has left. Dongseok comes to dinner, wearing short sleeves and sweat slipping down the side of his neck. He's tired today, citing garden work for the reason. Juan catches a whiff of the earth on Dongseok as he sits down. You're here early today, Dongseok comments. I got off work earlier, Juan replies. He thinks, is it a problem that I'm here early? He thinks, did you not want to see me this early? Dongseok smiles, resting an elbow against the table. Long week? Longer than usual, Juan replies conversationally. It's only been longer because it's been the obligatory 2 weeks since seeing Dongseok, since returning for the biweekly dinners. He doesn't let Dongseok know that he's been counting down the days on loop, like clockwork, every time he thought about when it was socially acceptable to show his face again. Planning on driving back? Dongseok asks. I can get a taxi, Juan replies. Dongseok smiles again, pushing himself away from the table. The fridge door opens and closes, and Dongseok returns with drinks and a few shot glasses. They wait for the others to arrive, of course. They come eventually. Oh Ji-hoon first, and then Oh Ji-hwa, who walks in with a makgeolli from the new store. It's closer to her station, because the old grocery store has never been remodeled or set back up for business. They greet Juan with matching smiles. The soju is bitter going down Juan's throat. He's never liked it. Never used to Korean alcohol in the same way he's used to whiskeys and scotches and wines. But Dongseok prefers it, which is why he drinks. He keeps an eye on Dongseok's swift fingers, listens to his lilting voice and scratchy laugh, and eventually feels a light touch against his elbow, his back. Brief, flitting touches that are only given to stabilize him, not because Han Juan is drunk. It takes more than a few shots to get him drunk. but because he can feel the weight of the night coming down on him. He is better with conversation, light and casual talk between colleagues, both the new and old ones, but even then his social battery runs low. He can see it in his mind's eye, blinking red towards the end. He eyes Dongsik, whose eyes are too clear for him to be properly drunk, and it occurs to Juan that he's never seen his partner drunk, so maybe he just doesn't know. But their eyes meet, and Dongsik's mouth quirks into a little smile. It's a warm smile, and it's a quiet one, one that shifts in shape and tone when Chihua calls him away for something. But Juan thinks about the shape of Dongsik's mouth and the wrinkles around his eyes, and how that gentle affection seems to come so naturally, so openly in that split second. Juan cradles it in his chest. The frightening thing about want is that it starts off small, and then grows. It starts with the bi-weekly meetings, the dinners, and the stolen smiles. Juan becomes well-versed in them. The drive to Manyang, heart racing, foot on the accelerator practically the whole time. And then the quiet drive back to Seoul. The road seems to go on for miles. Juan marks down the time to drive to Manyang on his calendar. His phone reminds him, even though he doesn't rely on the chime of that notification. He watches the clock. He brings groceries if Jae needs them for the shop. He once shows up with alcohol that's a little too fancy for the tastes of Manyang, but they accept it with laughter anyways. Juan squirms at it, and he can't make eye contact with anyone for the first 10 minutes. But Dongsik tries the liquor first. "Not bad," he comments. "You don't like it," Juan replies. "Oh, I didn't say that," Dongsik says. "I mean that it's not bad, Inspector Han." "But you don't like it," Juan asks, and his voice sounds childish, even to himself. He is suddenly a whining 7-year-old, sneaking a look out from someone's skirt as he waits for an answer, some kind of approval. He wonders if Dongsik knows, if his old partner understands just how important it is to Juan that he likes something that's brought to him. "Don't get yourself so worked up," Dongsik says, but that's not a real answer. And so something in Juan curls into itself and shrivels when he realizes that he's made a mistake, a miscalculation. Through the entire dinner, Juan thinks he needs to fix it somehow, make up for the poor gift, do something or give something that Dongsik will actually have a use for. But he realizes that nothing immediate comes to mind, and that in itself feels like a failure, a testament to how Han Juan does not do relationships. It is nearly 10 by the time everyone's done cleaning the shop, and Jae's wishing them all a good night and teasing Juan that the gift was fine. "Don't look so down." But Juan doesn't hear anything until Dongsik says, "Don't drive home." "I was going to call a taxi," Juan mumbles. Again, he sounds pouty, small. He's tugging out his phone, lazily tapping the screen to get a car back to Seoul, when Dongsik asks, "Are you upset?" "No," Juan replies, but his voice comes out all wrong again. Desperation clings onto each note. "That's a yes." Juan stares down at his phone. He is upset for no reason, winding deeper and deeper and deeper into himself. He thinks that if someone were to touch him right now, something ugly would spring back out with unhinged jaws and too many sharp teeth. "Is it about the alcohol?" Dongsik asks. "No." Juan feels Dongsik's gaze on him, sharp and focused enough for him to want to disappear into the ground somewhere. "Han Juan, you didn't like it." "You keep saying that," Dongsik says, which is funny because I never remembered saying that. "You didn't have to say it." "So, are you a mind reader now?" Dongsik asks. Juan looks at Dongsik. Dongsik leans against the shop, head resting against the closed door, Any and all traces of annoyance have slipped away from his face, leaving behind in equal parts exasperated and bewildered Yidongshik in its wake. Juwon eyes the strands of hair that have slipped down Dongshik's forehead and feels the urge to reach over and touch them. He wonders if Dongshik's hair is soft or if it's coarse, thick. It looks like the latter. "Here," Dongshik says at last. "If you feel so bad, you can just buy me a drink next time." "We're always here," Han Juwon replies before he can stop himself, before he can think about whether or not it sounds like he's complaining, because he isn't. "So then buy me a drink somewhere else," Dongshik replies. He pushes himself away from the door, giving Juwon a crooked but tired smile. It makes Juwon feel 10 years younger than he actually is, stupid and hormonal and confused and aching everywhere. He'd moved too fast that time, too much too soon, so Juwon brushes off the incident of that past weekend like a speck of rebellious dirt on the counter. Out of sight, out of mind. But he doesn't say no to Dongshik's challenge. "Just buy me a drink next time," is what he had said. Friends buy each other drinks all the time. Colleagues do, too. Old mentors, old teachers, fathers. They're sitting at a bar, one that Juwon's heard of but never been to. Dongshik shows up wearing jeans and a dark tee. Juwon is wearing the same suit that he wore to work. Their outfits always clash with one another, but it seems to clash more, even in the dim yellow lighting of the bar. After they order their drinks, Juwon tries to remember how to talk. The bartender comes around eventually, and Dongshik stares blankly at the selection before ordering a gin and tonic. Juwon gets his usual kind of whiskey. When their drinks come around, Dongshik says, "I have a confession to make." Juwon's heart twitches. He looks at Dongshik, whose eyes are only barely darker than the whiskey in Juwon's glass. Bar lighting does wonders for brown eyes, and Juwon thinks, very briefly, about maybe that's why so many cliched men start having affairs with the first pretty person they see in bars. Everything is smooth in this yellow light. Blemishes and dark circles less noticeable. Dongshik picks up his glass and with a sidelong smile says, "I've actually never had this before." "Gin?" Dongshik nods. "Are you scared?" Juwon thinks it's a jab at his attitude from the other week, but Dongshik continues, "If I get awfully drunk, do you promise to honorably call me a taxi?"
"Is there a non-honorable way to call someone a taxi?" Juwon asks.
"Smart inspector like you, you should know there absolutely is," Dongshik replies. He leans on an elbow, eyes catching more of the light. He smells like his house. Earth again. Soil, something musty. Not basement-level musty, but a lived-in kind of musty. Juwon mirrors Dongshik, resting against his own elbow.
"I promise that I'll honorably call you a taxi if you get awfully drunk."
Dongshik nods, all insincere sincerity, and a barely restrained smirk.
"Thank you, Inspector Han." "You are most certainly welcome, Yidongshik-shi."
They drink. Juwon waits for Dongshik's reaction. Dongshik pauses, then says decidedly,
"It's not what I expected." "Does that mean?"
Dongshik takes one look at Juwon's face and laughs, relaxed and teasing.
"It means that it's fine, Han Juwon. Don't stress."
In another conspiratorial lean towards him, he adds, "If I wanted to stress you out, I would have at least chosen a different setting, don't you think?" Juwon isn't so sure. His body suddenly a little more rigid than it had been moments ago. He pointedly lifts the whiskey to his lips, not missing Dongshik's self-satisfied smirk. The bar is quiet, which means that they have to speak a little quieter. But Juwon gets tired of trying, and Dongshik is someone who doesn't whisper in public. He only ever whispers when there are two people in the room, one person being himself. They have their drinks, and have another before they're walking out of the bar, down the steps and into the street. Juan is too sober to get away with saying something stupid, like that he wants Dongsik to stay with him a little while longer. If they could have another hour, in the dark, if they could find some place even quieter so that they could just be. Juan is too full of alcohol not to get away with staring at Dongsik. He has a nice profile, an angle for a jaw and nose, curves for his mouth and the bump of his throat. Dongsik looks at him. "Do you like the view?" he asks, teasing, lighter than the melted ice that had been sitting at the bottom of Juan's glass moments ago. He's too sober to ask for stupid things, but he asks, "Do you have to leave now?"
"I don't want to," Dongsik replies.
Juan's throat dries.
"Okay," he says. "Do you have somewhere in mind?" Dongsik asks.
Juan does, and he also doesn't. He thinks briefly, "Come home with me." Too much. He says,
"Wherever you want."
The corner of Dongsik's mouth twitches, and they go get noodles at a late-night restaurant. Neither cares if they already had dinner. Juan eats, and he watches Dongsik's face through the steam. They split a bottle of soju between themselves, too, even though they could easily finish off a bottle of themselves. It's Dongsik's idea, because he doesn't want to get drunk, and Juan wants to get drunk, because his heart's in his throat. When it comes time for them to separate, Juan almost takes Dongsik's hand, and then hates himself for thinking about that in the first place. In the next weekend after, he drinks with Dongsik again, eats with him again too. Alone, without the typical company of the Manyang butcher shop. There are those meetings too, those dinners where Juan tries not to think about how much he wants to take Dongsik's hand. Those dinners when Juan tries not to think about how much he wants for Dongsik to take him home. He tries to picture what might happen. If Juan just asks, how Dongsik would react. Would he laugh at him? Turn him around and just hail him a taxi? Or would he pretend he'd never heard? Both options make Juan's throat close. He wakes up with his heart hammering too fast and his breath not altogether there. It happens on dinner and drinks 3. When he sees the familiar number flash on his screen, he waits too long to turn the call down. He blames it on the weight of his body. He blames it on the alcohol. But really, he knows what it is. He knows when a master calls its dog, sit. He stares at the screen, listless and ill, until Dongsik asks, "Who's that?"
"Move."
Juan turns down the call and says,
"Nobody important."
It's not enough. Han Juan hears a familiar voice in his skull, a quiet taunt, a soft, but not gentle, reprimand.
"Emotional. You wear your heart on your cheek."
His voice betrays itself, anger, resentment. It quivers in his words, just barely restrained under the surface. Which is why Dongsik's eyes flicker like the last flame. They don't say anything at first. Juan picks up the bottle of soju and pours them both shots. Dongsik asks,
"Does he call you often?" "I don't want to talk about it." "He does, then." "He doesn't."
Dongsik doesn't believe him. It's obvious on his face. The careful gaze, the way his fingers curl around the shot glass. He doesn't blink once, almost as though daring Juan to look away first. Juan waits for the anger to rise, or maybe some kind of accusation, but instead, Dongsik asks,
"How often?" "He doesn't call often."
"Once a week? Twice a week?"
"Block the number."
Simple, quick, clean. It sounds easy when Dongxik says it.
He doesn't call often.
Dongxik presses his lips together. He lowers his gaze, fingers still lightly wrapped around the shot glass.
Drink,
Juan thinks. If Dongxik drinks, then it means that this isn't a big deal. It means that this is the end of the conversation and they can resume and act like nothing happened. Juan knows that's not how their relationship works, but some foolish part of him tries to shake some logic into it anyways.
You know, I wasn't going to say anything, Dongxik says at last. I was wondering if I should say anything at all.
Juan sees it coming, but he tries to stop it anyways.
Dongxik-si.
What are we doing here, Inspector Han?
Dongxik says wearily.
What do you want?
It's those questions that freeze Han Juan in place. His fingers have gone stiff, and the air has gone still along with it. Across the restaurant, there is exactly one other pair that's still quietly eating. A man and a woman trying to stifle their laughter. It looks easy.
Han Juan.
I'm sorry,
Juan says. It's the wrong thing to say. Dongxik goes quiet. They both stare down at their food, their drinks. Juan downs his shot. The soju doesn't taste like anything at all. Dongxik's eyes follow him. Eventually, he drinks too, and they don't have anything to say for the rest of the meal. On the other side of the restaurant, that couple keeps laughing, and Juan keeps drinking, and Dongxik keeps staring with the heat of a million dying embers. Only when they leave the restaurant does Dongxik finally say something. It's a relief to hear his voice. Juan almost wants to cry because of it.
Han Juan, Dongxik starts.
He inhales, pocketing his hands. Then he looks at Juan, face forward. They're standing underneath the eaves of the restaurant, its light still warm inside. The air is humid and hot, August being a month where summer can make its final stance against the coming autumn. Dongxik's wearing a simple tee because of it, white and baggy over his front.
You shouldn't eat and drink with people you feel sorry for, Dongxik says.
A corner of his mouth quirks, but Juan's well-versed in the kinds of smiles that he's given. When Dongxik smiles at him like this, it means he's done something wrong, said something wrong.
It hurts my pride a little.
He says that part with a laugh. He ducks his head, his hair slipping down his forehead. Juan's stomach twists. He says,
it's not that I feel sorry for you.
Dongxik eyes him warily. It hurts. It hurts for Juan to know that he only has himself to blame for the wariness in his eyes to begin with.
And what is it? Dongxik asks.
If it's not sympathy, then why exactly has the great Han Juan decided to show his face again?
The great is what stings Juan in the chest. There's nothing great about him. There is nothing about him that warrants even the joke of being worth something precious, something worthwhile. He is made up of only his own fumbled, strung-together wants that he still turns around and around in his hand like some fragile thing. He thought he could do it. He really thought he could. Learn exactly what the want is. Looking down at Dongxik, Juan isn't sure why he ever thought he could.
You have to give me something, Dongxik says at last.
His voice has given up. It stings, it sinks.
Give me something to work with, Inspector Han. I'm not...
He stops himself, frustrated. He digs his hands into his hair, holds it tight for a second, before his hand drifts back against his thigh.
I'm not interested in mind games anymore. Not with you, at least. Not this kind. Otherwise, I would have just planted evidence and gotten you to investigate me again.
Don't joke about that,
Juan says before he can stop himself.
Then tell me what we're doing here, Dongsik says.
Juan's gaze drifts to the restaurant next to him. On the other side, an empty street. Only a few lone cars pass by. If he looks up, he won't even find any stars, too much light pollution. If he looks ahead, only Dongsik. Dongsik staring at him and waiting.
Juan wants to run away.
Han Juan, Dongsik says, what do you want?
Want.
Juan's throat burns. The other pair at the restaurant leaves. They don't look at the strange two men standing in the front. They are living their own lives, happy and content and easy.
Dongsik waits for him.
Juan thinks he should have had more to drink because he needs to say something stupid. He needs to be honest. He needs to actually say what he wants, and he can't do that if he's too sober to get around to doing it. He needs to say it. And the only thing he can do is stare back at Dongsik and pray that he won't hate him. When Juan takes a step forward, Dongsik stays still. His eyes are wide, searching, and for a moment he looks uncertain, unsure, cautious. But he doesn't step back. They stand there, hovering. Juan can hear Dongsik breathing. He feels the flutter of bare fingers against his wrist. Juan's chest hurts. Dongsik's eyes have turned still. They're fixed on Juan's face, mouth parted.
Dongsik,
Juan says hoarsely.
Yeah.
It wasn't sympathy.
Dongsik's eyes flicker.
I want you to believe me.
His voice cracks, breaks in the pavement between them as he continues.
I want to keep seeing you. I want to keep eating with you. I want to... Juana. Please.
Juan says. And he's miserable. He's bowing his head, and he thinks he might sink into the ground when he says...
I want everything.
Dongsik's face blurs in front of him.
Everything, he repeats.
Everything,
Juan confirms. Clarifies.
You.
Dongsik disappears from in front of him because Juan has to close his heavy eyes. They burn, burdened. There's a thumb under his eye. There are fingers at the side of his neck. He feels a breath against his jaw. When he opens his eyes, Dongsik's eyes are red. They take a taxi home together. Juan watches the light speed past him. He listens to Dongsik breathe. It takes a minute, a full minute. Juan takes Dongsik's hand. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening.